lecture, we saw how to combine systems, how to have a joint description of two systems. And we looked at the notion of entanglement as it applied to pure states. Now we're going to do things more generally. What's a good title for this? Let's call it Subsystems and Partial Trace. So again, we consider the case where we have a Hilbert space. It's a tensor product of two Hilbert spaces associated with systems A and B. We have a joint system. This could be an electron's position degree of freedom and its spin degree of freedom. This could be one particle with some spin and another particle with some spin. This could be the spatial degree of freedom of one particle and the spatial degree of freedom of another particle. As I mentioned last class, it could be a single particle, and this is its x-coordinate degree of freedom, and this is its y-coordinate degree of freedom. Those are all instances of the tensor product. Now, we have the following problem. Suppose we know that the state is the state of the joint system, or the composite system, is some density operator, which we'll call rho AB. So now the kind of rigorous mathematical notation for this is that it's a linear operator on H. Some people will also more specifically say that it's use notation D to imply that it's a density operator, which means that it's a non-negative linear operator. So this is more precise. More precise if people know what that D means, I guess. It's more something you see more commonly in the quantum literature than the math literature. And then the question is, how do we assign a state operator to one of the subsystems? I.e., we want to find some rho A, which is a linear operator acting just on HA, and or we want to find rho B, which is a linear operator on HB. Notice that HA and HB can have different dimensions. So how many of you know how to do this? By a show of hands, please. A little less than half? What is it? Partial trace, I've heard whispered across the room. So it's the partial trace. So the partial trace works like this. If I have some operator A, which is some linear operator on H, A tensor HB, then the partial trace, what we'll do is it's called tracing out. So we're going to trace out B. This is entirely analogous to the situation in classical probability where you have a joint probability distribution of two variables, X and Y. But suppose you don't care about Y anymore, so you just want to know the effective or marginal probability distribution for X. So then you just integrate over the y variable or sum over the y variable, and you're left with the distribution that depends only on x, and that's the marginal probability distribution for x.
Similarly, we're going to get the marginal state operator for A.
Then A restricted to okay, well, this is bad notation. Let me not call this A because I'm prejudicing my indices. Allow me to change this to O. We can define an operator A by A is equal to the trace over B of O.
So what does that mean? Well, oddly enough, we have to, instead of defining it formally, we have to define it in terms of a basis, which is probably a bit impure to those of you who are very mathematically inclined.
Let B n with n going from 1 to capital N be an orthonormal basis for HB, which for definiteness we'll just take to be a finite dimensional Hilbert space, and we'll take it to be this, consistent with our last class, this n-dimensional Hilbert space. Then the trace over B of any operator O defined on the joint system is equal to a sum over N of BN O BN.
That's it. So notice the analogy with the full trace. So the full trace of this operator would involve summing over a basis for the full Hilbert space, which is the combined Hilbert space. So the partial trace just involves summing over a basis for the piece of the Hilbert space you want to get rid of. This is essentially like integrating over the y coordinate in the joint probability distribution of Pxy. Now notice something subtle here, mathematically, is that the trace of B of some operator O is a map that takes linear operators on HA tensor HB, it takes them two linear operators on HA alone. So whereas the full trace gives you a scalar, the partial trace gives you an operator. Now in the case of a state operator, for the row we were considering earlier, like called row AB, then the same property holds, and row of A is equal to the trace over B of row AB, and similarly, row of B is equal to the trace over A of row AB. And the trace over A is defined in the same way. It's just a sum over M AM row AB AM, where M goes from 1 to M, and I'm assuming here that, of course, the set AM with M going from 1 to M is an orthonormal basis for HA. Now the way we can motivate this, so I've claimed that this is true. Now how do you verify that it's true? The idea is that to verify this, and this could be a good exercise for you, to verify this you can check that the trace of some observable A
against row A is equal to the trace of A tensor identity against row AB, where A is, of course, some linear operator on HA alone.
So the point is this. If for any observable A,
so let's let A be a Hermitian operator,
so for any Hermitian operator, if the predictions of quantum theory for that operator against the state rho A, where rho A has been defined as in the last column, is the same as if you just evaluated the observable, I measure A on system A, and I do nothing on system B. I don't even detect it at all. That's what the identity measurement is for the full state. So if this is true for all observables, then clearly we've found the right prescription for finding the reduced state, because it's empirically indistinguishable from just doing the longhand method of just, I mean, really what it means, if I have a joint system and I'm just measuring an observable on system A, that literally means this. Measure A, do nothing on B, and that ends up being equivalent to partial tracing out B. Are there any questions about that? Nope. Good. Now I gave you a definition of entanglement for a pure state, now I'll give you a general definition. A state rho, yeah.
In the verify this, if you did on the right hand side, trace should have a subscript B, right?
Well, this is observable on A, and this is an observable on B.
So the trace on the right hand side?
Oh, this is the full trace. This is the full trace, and this is the full trace. So here, so notice that, yeah. So this trace is, I mean, it's worth repeating to the students. The argument of this trace is an operator that has dimension m times n by m times n. The argument of this trace is an operator that just has dimension m by m. And so one doesn't denote that at all, just it's understood from the nature of the dimension of the system inside the trace what you're doing. The only time we put a subscript is when we're only doing a partial trace. So a state rho is called separable if and only if rho is equal to, if there exists So IFF means if and only if. This little hat symbol means I should have inserted those words between this and that. So if and only if you can find a decomposition of rho, so if you can write rho as a convex combination of product states.
Otherwise, it is called entangled. So if you look at what's going on in this expression, why this expression? So let me just parse it with you. So this is a sum over some collection of state operators which are weighted by some probability. But what's distinct about each operator in the sum is that it's a tensor product of an operator, a well-defined state operator on A and a well-defined state operator on B. So what you see from this expression is that this state could be prepared by Tibra and I if we were remotely separated and talking over our cell phones. We could say, okay, on the first trial, let's decide which index I with whatever probability we decide upon, and then I'll prepare the state rho I and you prepare the state rho I. And then we flip a coin again and decide, okay, well now let's prepare a different state. And so the point is we can, through classical communication and local operations, prepare this combination of states. So the way this is said is that two separated parties, by which I mean spatially separated, and when I say can here, I mean in principle, using local operations, which means that if I'm party A, I only need to act on system A. And similarly for party B, and classical communication. In this case, all we really need is shared randomness. We don't even need to communicate. Shared randomness and a plan. So this is the common term here for these two paradigms is LOCC and LOSR. And these are important resource constraints. So the idea is, what can you do when you're only given access to such such capabilities? And there's some subtle differences between these two sets of assumptions, LOCC and LOSR, which I probably won't get into. So now the question is, how do we determine if I just give you some state operator of a joint system, some rho AB, and I can give you, say, a mathematical description of that state, how do we determine if it's entangled? Yes?
Two questions. One is, could you explain again what you mean by shared randomness?
Shared randomness means that we both have very long strings of random numbers, of the same random numbers. So, you know, I have a random number string, I copy it, I give it to party B, and then we come up with some operational procedure, some plan, and then the idea is what can we achieve in terms of preparing states given access to that. Well, LOCC is local operations and classical communication, and LOSR is local operations and shared randomness. I mean, I guess the distinction arises if we're playing some kind of game where there's a referee, then having access to classical communication is stronger than having just access to shared randomness, because then we can discuss what questions you were asked by the referee, and we can try and come up with some scheme for satisfying the referee's requests using local operations and classical communication that allows more capability than if we couldn't communicate but only had these shared bit strings, shared random bit strings. Yes. PI, yeah, the random string will be used to generate the right PIs. Can you repeat the question, please? Are you saying unentanglement? Okay, I don't know what you mean by unentanglement. You mean separability? Separability probably is what you mean, yeah, okay. So, states. Yeah, when you take, right, so if you just had this state, that's obviously separable, but now if I just take a convex combination of separable states, that remains separable. So separability is actually defined as there exists some way of writing the state in terms of some choice of these operators where one has just a convex combination. Now, the important point is that given some row, figuring out if there exists some choice of row IA and row IB for which one can write the state in this way is highly non-trivial. One has to search over the continuous space of all possible density operators to do this. So it's not, in fact, calculationally feasible for even moderately large systems. So the point is, given knowledge of row doesn't imply knowledge of the right-hand side. So it's a hard problem to determine if row admits such a decomposition. And so that boils down to the question of how do you tell if a given row is separable? How can we determine if any given row is separable? So as I mentioned, the problem is unsolved. This is unsolved in general.
So this is a very important open problem in the general case, but partial answers are known. So we have some partial answers. So first, this you've already seen. If rho is pure, so that there exists some vector psi for which we can write rho in this way. In last class, I mentioned how you would check it. If rho is pure, then rho A equal to trace over B of rho will be pure. If and only if rho is unentangled, separable. And likewise for rho B, by symmetry, I guess. Can you see why that's the case? Is that obvious? So, if rho is separable and pure, then what that means is we can write rho is equal to some phi A tensor phi B times phi A tensor phi B. So the fact that it's separable and pure guarantees this is of this form. And then when we partial trace over B, which means we ignore system B, we're just basically dropping that term. So we're left with the pure state on A. So you can see this trivially from the definition of the partial trace. Choose an orthonormal basis which contains the vector phi B as one of its elements. And then trivially, this sum will be equal to 1 when AM is equal to phi B and will equal 0 for all other AM. And so you just have the one term in the sum that's equal to 1. And so you get this disappears and you replace it with a 1 and you're just left with rho A. Yeah. For the trace, you can choose any basis you want.
No, but to conclude that if it's separable and pure and you provide it like that, then I suppose you assume that both, that it's called separable and pure on the same basis. Separable means that it can be written like that, in a certain basis, right?
The fact that it's separable means that it can be written this way. Well, I mean, so the key point is that it's a pure state, right? So if it's a pure state, either it's factorable or it's not factorable. So a pure state would in general be written, let me just put a little aside here. So a pure state in general, let's call it chi, is some linear combination of that form, And now, I mean, I guess you just have to kind of look at the formula a bit, but you'll realize that if it's pure and then you also want it to be separable, then that implies that really there can only be one term in this sum as well. Now, it doesn't have to be a basis element, right? I mean, I'm just writing down arbitrary bases. You can pick these. I mean, there's no constraints on what these bases are. So, there's no constraints on any of these bases actually. So, but then if it's separable, then that pretty much means that there must exist some phi and some psi such that chi has that form. So any pure state has this form, but if it's separable, then it has this form. Basically, the key point is this. If the overall state is pure, here's the point. You've heard about classical correlations, like joint probability distributions can have correlations between the two variables. And if I told you that you have a classical probability distribution of two variables, and on one of the variables, all of the probability is concentrated Dirac delta function style on one outcome, is it possible for that system to be correlated with anything else? The meaning of correlation is that there's covariation. So if I have, say, two possible outcomes of system A, that outcome one is slightly more likely to occur when system two has outcome one as opposed to outcome two. But now, if one of the two variables has only a single outcome, all the probability is concentrated on a single outcome, then it's impossible to talk about it being correlated with anything because there's just one possible outcome. There's nothing to correlate with. There's no covariation to look for. So similarly, so the point is that's the notion of correlations. Now, in the quantum mechanical setting, as we'll see later, there's another notion of correlation called entanglement. And that corresponds to a different kind of correlation. But what you will see, what will hopefully become clear by the end of this lecture, is that if the overall state is pure, then you have correlations between systems A and B, if and only if you have entanglement between systems A and B. So when the overall state is pure, the only way you can have correlations is if you have entanglement. And the only way you can have entanglement is if you have correlations. That's kind of trivial. But what's interesting is that if this total state is mixed, so if you look at a state like this, a separable state, this is a state where using this scheme, I can create correlations between A and B. What I can do is I can say, okay, with probability 1/3, both particles are spin up. With probability 1/3, both particles are spin down. Let's make it a three-level system. And with probability 1/3, both systems are in their zero, in the, you know, spin zero state. So that's obviously correlated. Whenever I find spin up here, I'll find spin up there, and so on. So the point is, with this kind of a state, I can mimic classical correlations, but yet have no quantum entanglement in this state. But now, what I've assumed here is that means this state is going to be a mixed state. It's not going to be a pure state. What you'll see with a little bit of thinking and kind of reasoning through this is that if the overall state is pure, the only way I can create correlations between A and B is to create entanglement between A and B. So that's kind of a key point. Maybe I should write that down, in fact. For a pure state of A and B, the only way to create correlations and when I say correlations, I mean correlations in measurement outcomes on these systems.
but a mixed state of A and B can have correlations with or without entanglement. So this is why the problem is kind of easily solved in the pure state case, but harder to solve in the mixed state case. So let me just give you some general, yes?
Yeah, I was just wondering here, so you say that if the full density operator O is pure, then the partial derivative of B of that given pure is not acceptable. And below that, you assume that the overall density operator is acceptable and pure. Mm-hmm. So that is the density operator sources system A will be pure. But how do you go in that direction?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me just think about that. Let's see, so we got that. So we've got that it's pure if rho is separable, and then we want to get separable implies purity, right? No, we want purity implies separability. Sure. How do we show this? So let me introduce the Schmidt decomposition and that'll make it easier. So we'll get to your answer here when you introduce a little more power. So so given some pure state, psi in HAB, there exist orthonormal bases IA and IB. Such that psi is equal to a sum over I lambda IA IB where the lambda I are non-negative. And the sum of their squares adds to 1. Is this going to help us? It may not help us, actually. Ah, right. Okay.
So the Schmidt number is the number of non-zero coefficients. It gives a measure of entanglement. So the Schmidt number is is less than or equal to the minimum of the dimension of HA and the dimension of HB. Yeah.
The sum, if the dimension of the Hilbert spaces are not the same.
Mm-hmm. The smaller one. So the maximum Schmidt number is given by the minimum of the dimensions. So Schmidt number one of one implies that it's not entangled. And if dimension of HA is equal to the dimension of HB, which we'll just say is equal to N, then the Schmidt number of N implies maximal entanglement. You know, just give me a moment to think of how to answer this question. So, okay, the answer to your question is simple. So what you want to know is, if we know that rho A is pure, how do we deduce that the total state is pure or as separable? So let's do that. Let's look at that. Now, suppose we know that rho A is pure, so we can assign some state phi to it. Let me be consistent with my notation. Is that what I'm calling it, phi A? Now we know that rho A is the partial state associated with the joint system. We know that rho A is equal to the trace over B of rho. So, I mean, okay, it's kind of obvious by inspection. I'm not quite sure how to get there, but so what this means is that the sum over n bn rho bn is equal to phi a.
I mean, maybe I should be doing a proof by contradiction. So, I mean, the kind of obvious fact that I don't know how to make obvious to you is that if part of a quantum state is pure, then the only possible way you can construct a full state. So where I'm getting is this. What I'd like to show is this. The only possibility is that rho is equal to phi a tensor some state on B. And now our overall assumption is that the overall state is pure, which means that this has to be a pure state. Well, I guess, all right, I have to think about the explicit way to do this, but the analogous argument in the classical case, to give you some intuition about this, is that if I told you that you have a joint probability distribution and the variable x has the marginal probability distribution on x is a delta function, and then I ask you to prove that there can be no correlations between x and y. And it's kind of obvious that, well, it's impossible for it to have correlations because it doesn't even vary. So it's kind of the fact that we know that this state is pure means it's impossible for it to have any relationship with the other state, basically. Let me think about a formal way to show that. It's not coming to me off the top of my head, sorry. Okay, let me just mention also something that's very important, which is entropy. So the von Neumann entropy So using the Schmidt result, so let me just bring this down and make a remark about that. So once you have a Schmidt decomposition, the nice thing is it's easy to find the reduced states. It's easy to find rho A given the knowledge of the Schmidt decomposition, because IA and IB are orthonormal bases. So when I do the partial trace over B, rho A is going to be a sum over, let's call it L, of lambda IL. I don't know how to denote the fact that this is in the... let me do it this way. Let me call it BL. BL IA tensor IB IA tensor IB BL. And now let's choose the basis in which we're evaluating the partial trace to be the same as this basis. And then we'll get a non-zero contribution only for terms where lambda I is non-zero. And so we get sum over I lambda I, or is it squared? Thank you. Yeah, why is that lambda I squared? Hold on a second. Oh, right, because I did the expansion twice, and these are real. Right. So now the point is we decided that, according to the Smigy composition, the state is entangled only if there's more than one lambda I. But now, coming back to this proof, here we're assuming that rho A is pure, which means that there can only be one lambda I. Therefore, the sphere is pure. So if you accept the Schmidt decomposition, which I didn't prove to you, then that answers your question. So I've kind of swept the problem one theorem further away, but. So given an operator rho, a state operator, the entropy, the von Neumann entropy S, which we just dropped the subscript, so I'm going to drop it, S is equal to minus the trace of rho log rho. Here we take the rho log base 2, I guess. Where I think it's something like 0 times 0 is assumed to be 1, or something like that. There's some kind of singularity in this definition that... Sorry?
0 log 0.
Yeah, 0 log 0 is 1, is the idea. So the von Neumann entropy S gives a measure of your ignorance. Of ignorance about the system. So larger S values imply more ignorance, which means lack of knowledge about the details. So S equals 0 implies maximal knowledge. And maximal knowledge means, of course, that it's a pure state. Rho is pure. And maximal ignorance so I know nothing about the preparation procedure. That means that I would assign the identity operator then we can calculate the von Neumann entropy. So then S is equal to minus the trace of identity over D times log 2 identity over D. Now I haven't really told you how to talk about functions of operators yet. Is that something you've all seen? So normally a function of an operator is defined via its spectral decomposition. For how many of you is that familiar? Less than half? Right, so let me give you a digression. If you have some function, or any function, f of a
for some normal operator A. So the fact that it's normal means it's diagonalizable. Can be defined in terms of the spectral decomposition of A. So in particular, we write A as sum over I AI AI. Then F of A can be defined via sum over I F AI. AI. So then you just are defining the function of an operator in terms of that same function applied to its eigenvalues. And then this new operator F of A, so this is an operator valued function, is the operator defined by the spectral decomposition. So clearly it shares an eigenbasis with the operator A. So now we can evaluate the entropy of our state. Should really write it this way, S of identity over D. So the identity operator is diagonal on every basis, and its eigenvalues are 1 over D. So we have the trace of two operators. So S of identity over D is equal to minus, so the trace involves a sum over some basis. Let's just pick a basis, I. And we have I acting on let's write down a spectral decomposition for log 2. So log 2 would be now, what do we need? Another sum over L of log 2 of 1 over D times LL. Sure, sorry about that. So let me help you parse this. So here we're calculating the entropy function S of identity over D, which is the fully mixed state. That's equal to minus 1 times the sum over I, the bra I, identity over D, and then I expanded log 2 of identity over D in this way. So I have a sum over L, log 2 of the eigenvalues, which is 1 over D, times the projector onto L, and then all of that is acting on this vector I. But now I and L are the same basis, so this gives a delta Li. So we have minus L I'm going to get, this is weird. Let me do it more slowly. All right, so sum over I, this identity we can just ignore. The L goes away and that becomes an I. So we have log 2 of 1 over D divided by D, log 2 of 1 over D divided by D, the L becomes an I. So now we realize that this whole object here is just a scalar, so that comes out. So we have minus, and then we're summing over I, which is 1.
which gives a factor of d. So we get minus. So this d cancels with the sum, and we get minus log 2 of 1 over d, which, how does it work with logs? If you switch them, you get a minus sign. So this is just log 2 of d. So log d is the maximal ignorance. So s varies between 0 for pure states and log d for maximally mixed states. So the point is, if rho is pure, then S of rho A is a measure of the degree of entanglement. Now, who can see why, if the overall state is mixed, that S of rho of A does not give a measure of entanglement via kind of a simple counterexample? If my full state rho is a mixed state, then why can't I just calculate S of rho A and get any sense of how entangled it might be? I think you're on to it, but there's a very kind of concise example you could raise and say, you know, if the overall state had this form, then clearly the entropy of the reduced state gives no indication of the entanglement. So what we're saying here is that if the reduced state is highly mixed, then the von Neumann entropy of that reduced state will be large. If the reduced state is very pure, then the von Neumann entropy of that state is very small. And we saw via this partial answer up here and some discussion to your question that when the overall state is pure, then the purity of the subsystem gives you an indication of how entangled the state is. I'll give you guys 30 more seconds and then I'll give more hints. So, can you come up with an example of a state which is not at all entangled, which is completely separable, but would produce a very high entropy of the reduced state? Yeah? Well, diagonalization, every state is diagonal in some basis. So that won't help. It might even be written on the board, the example. I don't know if I erased it or something, but I thought I'd written it down. Okay, well, it's not written on the board. Thank you. Good. So let the full state be rho A tensor anything. Anything on B. Now, what's the reduced state? The reduced state is just rho A, right? When we take the partial trace, the partial trace is non-trivial only when you have some sum in here and you have to kind of figure out how to combine things. But if you just have one term, then the reduced state associated with A is just rho A. So rho A is equal to the partial trace of B of rho. Maybe let me call this sigma A here. Rho A is equal to basically sigma A. So whatever appears on the left is your description of system A. You're saying, well, it's not connected with this at all. There's no correlation between this system and the other thing. So I just, when I ignore the other thing, it's not even a mathematical operation. It's like it was never there. So my reduced state is just sigma A. Now in this setup, I can choose sigma A to have to be pure or to be the identity or anywhere in between in degrees of mixedness. So now the entropy of rho A can be anything from log m to zero. It depends on what I choose for sigma A. So the entropy of the reduced state has no relationship whatsoever to the amount of entanglement of rho between A and B, which is zero. There's zero entanglement between them. But yet, so what this is telling you is that you can have ignorance about system A, either because system A is highly mixed in and of itself, or the other way you can have ignorance about system A is that you have a maximal knowledge, you have a pure state description of A and B, which means you have maximal knowledge about the relationship between A and B. But then when you trace out B, it creates mixedness on A. So the maximally entangled state, maybe I'll just mention this and then wrap up the lecture. So let's let N equal M, and let's just call it D. So these are the dimensions of HA and HB. Then a maximally entangled state would have the form chi equal to a sum over L CL AL tensor BL, where each of these CLs are 1 over the square root of D. And then L runs from 1 to D. So for such a maximally entangled state, the subsystem states are maximally mixed. Then rho A, which actually is equal to rho B, is equal to identity over D. And hence S of rho A or B is equal to log D. So what that means is that even though I have maximal knowledge about the system A, B, all of that knowledge is just about the relationships between A and B, the correlations between A and B. But when it comes to my knowledge of system A alone, I actually have zero knowledge. And this is one of the peculiar features of quantum mechanics. It's analogous to the fact that, okay, maybe this isn't a peculiar feature of quantum mechanics, because there is an analogy of this with classical probability distributions. If I have, two sets of six-sided dice that are magically connected so that whenever you roll a one on one die, you get a one on the other die, and so on, then while I have maximal knowledge about the correlations between the dice rolls, on any given roll, what's my knowledge of the outcome of one die? Well, I basically have maximal ignorance. I only know that there's probability 1/6 of each outcome. But because of this correlation between the dice, I have full knowledge of the other die once I know the first die. So in quantum mechanics, that pure state, that kind of knowledge of correlations is reflected by a pure state of this form, which is maximally entangled. But yet, my ability to predict properties of system A alone is very bad. But my ability to predict correlations between A and B is very good. And that's basically what a maximally entangled state is doing. So what this shows you is that you can get lack of knowledge of system A either from some intrinsic feature of system A or from having too much knowledge about the correlations between A and B gives you lack of knowledge about system A. I think I'll end on that note unless there are any questions. Kibra?
This is not really a question. So what we're doing is we're tracing over one subsystem. This maximally entangled state, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the density operator which is left over is the most maximally
mixed
state. So the von Neumann entropy being large.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, so I'm just kind of, you know, why is von Neumann entropy then? It seems it doesn't seem to be a very good measure of entanglement.
Well, it's a good measure of entanglement if the overall state is pure. So that's the point here. So I'm trying to explain to you why this is only valid. So this measure of entanglement is only useful if you happen to know that the full state is pure.
Measure of entanglement then becomes a measure of ignorance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's analogous to the fact that this idea of correlation and covariation. So a system can only be correlated with another system if it varies over some set of outcomes. And to have a high degree of correlation, you need not only the existence of the correlation, but a high degree of variation in the outcomes of any individual system. So if I have two dice and they're biased and they give the outcome 3 99% of the time and some other outcome 1% of the time. Wait, is this the right example? Maybe that example, that was an example off the top of my head, but I don't know if I can add anything further than what I've already said. Okay, great. See you tomorrow.